holding and yield on the days by the two dots near the end, 5 lines from the bottom. We learned about the discussion. We said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says that not just the Chatas and a Pesach, if they're shechted Shalai Lishma, or any of the Avodas are done Shalai Lishma is possible, also an Asher. And we mentioned in the course of the discussion that, first of all, that Rabbi Eliezer has a Hekish between a Chatas and an Asher, because the Pesach says Chatas to Asher, so therefore he learns that certain dinim that apply to the Chatas also apply to the Asher.
The Gemara says, about the Hekish,
therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds, okay, it's not across the board, there are certain things that are different between them, but there are certain similarities between them, including the case of Shalai Lishma. We also had, in the course of the discussion, we mentioned that we could argue that a Chatas is unique in that if you bring the blood of it into the Hekhol, the carbon is possible, as opposed to other carbonates, and we said that in fact, Rabbi Eliezer would hold the same thing applies to an Asham as well. So now
everybody else would not, right?
So now let's analyze that a bit. Tanan Hustam, we learn in a Mishnah later on in our Masechta, Shahoya Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva used to say, Kol Damim Shenichnas Olaheichol Lachaper, the blood of any carbon, not just a chatas, that's brought into the heichol to do kapara, the sprinkle over there, stolim, such a carbon becomes possible because the blood of it is not supposed to be brought in there. The Chachamim and Chachas Bovad, the Chachamim say only a Chachas, Rabbi Eliezer and Ma'afa Oshem, Shinema Kachatas Kashem. And Rabbi Eliezer is also an Oshem because of his Hekish Kachatas Kashem. So we have
why
to. Rabbi Akiva holds, once it says it's by a Chachas, then because the Rashi brings from the Gemara, which we're going to have later on, we're going to have a parish that discusses these dinim. If Rabbi Akiva learns that the Rabbi Akiva learns, he says the whole Chachas, so the B'chol includes other Korbanos. Where the Chacham say only a Chatas, and Rabbi Eliezer says also an Asham. So Bishleim and Rabbi Eliezer can come to Rabbi Eliezer says a Chatas and an Asham.
Rabbi
Akiva
says
all Karbanas, because the whole means everything. Okay. So Bishleim and Rabbi Eliezer can come to time. I can understand why Rabbi Eliezer says what he says, because he has his reason, he has his hedge. El Rabbanon my time, but where are the Rabbanon getting that it applies specifically to a Chatas? It's true, you do have a Hekish. What are they doing with that Hekish? Amar Rava. Like this, Asham Nishnas Damil Snim Postal Le Matis Amrit. You can't possibly say that if the blood of an Asham is brought into the Heichol, that it should make it possible. Because Kavachomer Ma'ola. Because you can make a Kavachomer from an Ola to prove that it's not a sin.
How can a Kavachomer be stronger than a Hekish?
Because, in other words, that teaches us that the Hekish is not meant to apply to this detail.
So it's
not really stronger than the Hekish. The Hekish is still a Hekish. We're going to use the Hekish to learn certain dinim, that there's similarities between a Chatas and an Asham. Even the Chachamim are going to have to agree with that, as we're going to say at the end of the Sodia. But they hold that the Hekish can't possibly mean that an Asham's blood is going to be possible, that the Asham is going to be possible if the blood is brought into the Hekish. And like Ma oila shi kolo, ma bechan oila, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach, nifnes damal afnim kshera, and both the coins of the Rabbanon and a coin to Rabbi Eliezer. Never mind a coin to Rabbi Akiva, because the coin to Rabbi Akiva, he said that it applies to all carbonates. But leaving him aside, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, they both agree that an oila, even though it's completely burnt on the mizbeach, if the blood is brought into the heichol of kosher, Oshem, she'ene kolo, well then an Oshem, which is not completely burnt on the Mizeach, and therefore in a sense it's a lesser level of Kedusha, like Hoshekin, how much more so that it shouldn't apply?
And Oshem is less than an Oila?
In that sense, I mean, they're both Kodshe Kodshim, but the difference is that an Oila is completely burnt on the Mizeach, whereas an Oshem is mostly eaten by the Kray.
Maybe it's
fine,
just
we can have, we have this Kavachimer, therefore that tells us that an Oila should be stronger than an Oshem.
The problem
is mala oila shekein ena machaperas, but you can say an oila is different in that it doesn't bring kapara, as opposed to an asham does, and therefore you can argue an oila is weaker. Maybe therefore this din doesn't apply to it either, but an asham is stronger. Maybe yes. The answer is mincha choyte tichia. Fine, but you can prove instead from the mincha of a choyte, again the case where a person is bringing a mincha as his carbon oil of a yerd because he's poor and he can't afford anything else. A minchas choyte is something that's mechaper, and yet if you bring it into the heichol, it's still kosher because the pasuk only says that blood passes, not a mincha. And in fact, so actually the keren ora, one of the mechorishim says. So of course, then why is the gemara even thinking to bring in a minchas choyte? Obviously, if the pasuk says blood only, then it means only blood. And the answer is because, and in fact, later on when we discuss this topic, later on in the masechta, we're going to say that, for example, if you were to bring the meat of the chatas in, it would not topple it. So how is it that? But so how is it we're saying over here that how is it over here we're thinking that we can bring a mincha as a proof? And he says the Keren Ara says basically because the difference is the meat is never used for kapara at all. The kapara with an animal korban is essentially finished with the zirika, right? As opposed to a mincha, the koimet corresponds to the blood. The koimet is burned on the mizbeach. That's the equivalent of burned on the mizbeach. Yeah, the equivalent of zirika. Taking it out of the mincha is the equivalent of shchita, et cetera. Yeah, you have four avodas there also. So the point being that even though the koimetz, the handful, is supposed to be what's used for kapara, yet we're saying that if you bring it into the handful, it doesn't make the mincha possible. Now, mincha shchita is accomplishing kapara.
Why? Because if you bring the blood, if you brought the koimetz, it would be possible.
No, we're saying if you bring the koimetz in, it's not possible. That's the point.
Ah.
Yeah. So therefore, so we can prove from Minchas Chayte that it's mechaper, and yet if you bring its mechaper, its thing for kapara, namely its koimet, into the heichol, then it's because the mincha is still kosher, because the pasuk only says blood makes it possible, and still mechaper, yeah. So therefore, so you have a proof from that. Okay, so the question is, fine, instead of bringing from mincha, why don't you say that you can bring a better proof, from mechaper to oif, where a chatas oif is better than a mincha for this purpose because it involves actual blood. And if you bring the blood of a chatas oif in, it doesn't necessarily pass all the carbon. So why don't you say that?
There's two carbonates already.
So right.
One is the carbon.
So, but why aren't we bringing the oif? Why instead are we bringing the mincha? And the answer is because chatas oif boyer dirab oven. Because that's actually not so simple. Later on in the Masechta, again, when we get into these dinim, Rav Oven asked the question, given that with a bird korban, the blood is not caught in a keli, unlike the animal korban. The bird itself effectively is used as a keli for the blood. In the case of the oila, after you do melissa, after you remove the head, after you nip through the neck, afterwards you press the body against the wall of the mizbeach, and the blood is squeezed out from there onto the mizbeach. In the case of a chatas, what you do is you hold it a little bit away from the mizbeach and squeeze it. Either way, it's never caught in a keli. So therefore, Rav Oven asked the question. The blood of a chatas to oif.
Oif.
So therefore, Rav Oven later on in Al Masechta asked the question. So if you were to take a chatas to oif after malika, or an oilas oif for that matter, whatever, and take it into the hekel, would that be considered like bringing in the blood in a keli that would make it possible? Or maybe not, because there's no keli. And it's left open. So therefore, we can't use that as a proof one way or the other over here, because we don't know. You can't compare to a regular chatas of an animal where the blood has a keli. Right. Okay, so the question is, though, fine, so you have this kavah chomer from an ola, and then we said from an ola it doesn't work, but from minchas chayta, the lifrich, but why can't we slog up that kavah chomer and say, mala minchas chayta shekein ena min zevach? You can say that a minchas chayta is not something that's shechted, so maybe that's a special case. Maybe therefore it's not possible if you bring it into the heichol. How do you prove to animal korbanos which are shechted? The answer is ola tefiach. We go back to proving from an ola. It's a mincha. It's a mincha. It's made out of flour, so there's no shechting involved. The answer, okay, you'll prove again from ola. B'chazir adin. So again, it goes back and forth as we've had many times already. Lo reizeh kirizeh, lo reizeh kirizeh. Each one's features are different than the other one. The ola on the one hand is completely burnt on the mizbeach, unlike the mincha tefiach. On the other hand, the oila does not come to kapara, and the mincha koite does. But hasada shavashadan, what do they both have in common? Shein kodshet kodshim, both of them are kodshet kodshim, they're the higher level of korbanos. The nichnas domen lefnim ksherim, and if you bring them or their blood, whatever, into the heichol, they're still kosher. Afani ovi asham, well then, through that sada shavah, we can also bring in asham, through kodesh kodoshim, it is also a korban, which is kodshet kodshim. And therefore, even if you bring the blood in, it should be kosher. So Rabbi Eliezer, fine, doesn't have to accept that. Rabbi Eliezer says, I have the hekesh kachatas ka'asham, and therefore I'm sticking with that, and therefore you bring in the blood of the asham, it makes the asham possible. The chachamim who hold that it applies only to a chatas and don't accept that hekesh for this purpose, that is because they hold that this kavah chomer shows that hekesh is not meant to apply to it. And therefore that it applies only to a chatas. Therefore, it applies only to a chatas. Amalei Rava mi Barnish l'Ravashi. However, Rava from Barnish asks Ravashi, the Lifrich. Fine, but you can ask a different way to slog up this Sada Shava between an Ola and Minchas Chayte. As we said before in the Gemara, an Ola and a Minchas Chayte, and in general most Korbanos, there's no fixed value. The Torah doesn't say how much they have to be, how much you have to buy them for. How can you compare it to an Asham, where you have a fixed value? In many cases, the Torah tells us that an Asham is supposed to be worth a certain minimum value. And maybe therefore an Asham is special, and maybe therefore it should be like a Chatos in that sense, and bring the blood into the Heichel Chatos in.
Because it does have a
kitzvah. Because it does have a kitzvah as opposed to the others. Yeah. So you can't say that's the reason of the Rabbanan. Because, fine, you can have your Tzadah Shavah, but we can break apart that Tzadah Shavah and show that an Osham is different than either an Ola, than both an Ola and a Mitzvah Soitah. Because it has a kitzvah.
And therefore it's closer to the...
So therefore in that sense, we go back to, we have a Hekesh Kachatas Kosham. The Rabbanan are trying to override it using the Tzadah Shavah, using the Tzadah Chomer, but it doesn't work. No, the reason why the Rabbanon say what they say, that an Osham is not possible by bringing the blood into the Heichel, the reason is, because the Pasuk says, if you bring its blood in, and that's a mute, Dama shall do, v'lo Dama shall acher. It means only the blood of it, the carbon that we're talking about, a chatas, not any other carbon. So therefore, so that overrides the Hekish.
It means it's specific to the chatas.
The idach. So, what would Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He would say dama for life star. Fine, but the word dama does not mean as opposed to the dam of any other carbon. It means as opposed to the meat of the carbon. If you were to bring the meat of the chatas into the heichel, it wouldn't make it possible. So, by stressing dama, the Torah is not saying that it applies only to a chatas. It does apply also to the asham, says Rabbi Eliezer. But the pasuk is stressing that it only applies to the dam, because dam versus boster rather than dam of it versus dam of something else, right? The idach, what would the chacham answer to that? They would say dam dama. Yes, but you can have two limudim because it didn't have to say the word dam at all. And then once it says it didn't have to say dama, so therefore you have a double limud. The idach and Rabbi Eliezer, what answer to that? Dam dama lo daughter. She doesn't darshan like that. Once it says dam, then the normal thing is to say dama. So therefore there's no special limud to be in the loshon b'nei'adam basically. So therefore there's nothing extra to be learned from the extra head. Okay.
And we leave it there.
Then we leave it there. Fine. All right. So now we're going to return to the main topic, which is the question of Shaloi Lishma. So that's it. So does the Chachamim have their opinion? Rabbi Eliezer has his. And again, the Chachamim say only Chassus. Rabbi Eliezer says also an Asham. And again, Rabbi Akiva says all Korban. Okay. So now we're going to get back to the main topic, which we're dealing with, of Shaloi Lishma. Where we reject the Chassus, Shaloi Lishma, and we say the Korban is possible, and we said Rabbi Eliezer... Because we digressed a minute to talk about the question of Domim Shenichnas Ulahechol, and now we're getting back to our main topic. So the main topic of the Sugya is the question of Shaloi Lishma by a Chatas or Kohen Rabbi Eliezer, also an Asham. So getting back to that, Bishleim L'Rabbanan. I can understand it works well according to the Rabbanan. Asham Shashachta Shaloi Lishma Kosher. They say that if you shecht an Asham and you had in mind Shaloi Lishma by the shecht, by the shechiter, by any of the other four avodas, the korban is still kosher. We can understand according to them. Haynu de'itkash mincha l'chatas mincha l'asham. Then that explains why elsewhere in the Torah we find a hekesh between a mincha and a chatas and a hekesh between a mincha and an asham. In other words, given that a chatas and asham have different dinim as far as lishma and shaloi lishma, therefore we can understand why the Torah finds it necessary to compare in certain cases a mincha is like a chatas, in certain cases it's like an asham. In other words, the point of the question is going to be, when we get to the end of the question, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if a chatas and an asham are both possible shaloi lishma, why does the Torah need to compare a mincha to both of them? Once it compares it to one of them, then we already understand the deal. So, D'tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Shimon Omer, when the pasuk says about a mincha, kodesh kadoshim hi kachatas v'cha asham, the pasuk says that a mincha is holy of holies, like a chatas and like an asham. So why the double comparison? What is that teaching us? It means like
kodesh
kadoshim. No, the kodesh kadoshim hi, we understand. It needs to inform us that a mincha is kodesh kadoshim, as opposed to kodesh kalim. It means that it can only be eaten in the azara, fine. But what's the point of saying that it's like a chatas and an asham? We know already that a chatas is kodesh kadoshim. We know already an asham is kodesh kadoshim. So what's the point of and it doesn't need to compare the mincha to both of them. So what's it accomplishing by comparing it to both? It means like this. Minchas chotei harei kachatas. The mincha that a person brings if he did an avera, namely that he brings as a korban ola v'yored, for shavuot vitzuri, or shavuot ha'edos, or trumas nefesh v'kodshav, the various ones that we learned about in shavuot, such a mincha, says Rav Shimon, harei kachatas. That the Torah is comparing to a chatas in the sense, l'kricha kamta shaloy l'shma p'stula. Therefore, if you were to take out the koimet and do it shaloy l'shma, having in mind a different koimet, then it would be possible. On the other hand, minchas nedava, on the other hand, the Torah wants to inform you, if you have a mincha that a person is just bringing voluntarily, harei kasham, then for that, we have the comparison that it's like an asham. Therefore, if you take the Torah, shaloy l'shma, then it remains kosher. So that's the point of comparing a mincha both to a chatas and to an asham, to say there's different types of mincha. Some types of mincha, if you do them shaloy l'shma, it'll be kosher like a chatas. Other types, you do it shaloy l'shma, it'll be kosher like an asham. El Rav Eliezer, but according to Rav Eliezer, who holds that both a chatas and an asham are possible, shaloy l'shma, l'may hilchta itkash mincha l'chatas or mincha l'asham. So according to him, why do you need both occasions? According to him, it should be enough to compare you compare it to the chatas, and we'll understand that it means it's always possible. You compare it to the asham, same thing. Where according to Rav Eliezer, why compare it to both? Yeah.
You only need both if one has another.
If one has a different din than the other, exactly right. The answer is b'chi idach to Rav Shimon. Yes, but Rav Eliezer would hold that you use the hekesh of a mincha, the comparison of a mincha to a chatas and the comparison of a mincha to an asham, he will say that you learn from it a different din that Rav Shimon says. The Tanan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah, also in Menachos, one of the cases where a mincha would be possible, shaloi b'kli shoreis p'tula. Now the din is, when so you have like this, the mincha itself is brought on a kli shoreis. It was actually in Sota now during Sfira. It was at the beginning of the second parak discussed the how a mincha is brought. And in particular, one idea is that you bring in a metal keli which can become a kli shoreis, and then you donate the keli along with the mincha. If for whatever reason you can't, and whatever it is, the point is that the mincha is placed in a kli shoreis. That's what makes it now have kedushas agur. Then what you do is like this: the kohen goes and takes the koimet out of it. He has to take that koimet and put it into another kli shoreis. That's what makes it official that now this koimet has kedusha, that it's going to be offered on the mizbeach. That's the equivalent, by the way, that sort of thing. Putting it in the keli is the equivalent of kabbalah, of receiving the blood in a keli, that when it comes to an animal korban. Again, the same way as my animal korbanos, you have four avodas. You have shchita, you have kabbalah, holocha, and zrika. The same way, by mincha, you also have four avodas. You have kmisa, which corresponds to shchita, which is take out the handful. Putting it in a kli shoreis, which corresponds to kabbalah. You do it. Most of the Rishonim hold you do it with three fingers. The Rambam, I think, holds you do it with four. But whatever it is, you scoop out a handful. Yeah. We'll learn when we get to Masechta Menachos. We'll talk about the exact details of how it's done. Be that as it may, it is. And then you put in a kli shoreis that corresponds to kabbalah. You touch it to the corner of the mizbeach, which is called hagosha. You touch that keli with the koimetz in it to the corner of the mizbeach. That corresponds to halacha, and then you burn the koimetz on the mizbeach, and that corresponds to zriya. Yeah. So the point is, therefore, so Rav Shimon holds like the Mishnah says, shalobikli shoreis tula. If you were to take the koimetz and then not place that koimetz into a kli shoreis tula, then the korban would be possible. Because, the, again, just like the blood of the animal has to be received in a basin, which is kli shoreis, so also the koimetz has to be placed in a kli shoreis. That's what the chacham holds. Vrid of Shimon Masher. That's what the chacham says, that the koimetz has to be placed in a kli shoreis. Yeah. Actually, I got it a little bit wrong. The halacha corresponds to halacha. Never mind the hagosha. It's true you have to touch the mincha, the keli with the mincha, the corner of the mizbeach, but that's not considered one of the four avodas. The third avodah is, again, halacha. You have to walk it over towards the mizbeach.
Like
halacha of the blood. Anyway, the point is, Rav Shimon Machshir, whereas Rav Shimon says it'll be kosher. Even if you just held the koimetz in your hand and walked it over to the mizbeach and went up to the top of the mizbeach and threw it into the fire, the Torah doesn't say one way or the other. The Torah just says you take the koimetz and you burn it on the mizbeach. The Torah doesn't spell out about putting it in a keli or not. So the chachamim hold that has to be put in a keli, otherwise it's possible. Rav Shimon holds not. So Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chiya says, why does Rav Shimon say that? Why is it kosher? Because Omakra Kodesh Kodoshim Hi Kachatas V'Kosham, because of this hekesh that we just said, Mincha is in a certain sense compared to the Chatas, and in a certain sense compared to the Osham. Namely like this, Rav Shimon would say as follows, if you're doing the Avodah strictly with your hands, namely, you're taking the koimetz in your hand and walking it over in your hand to the mizbeach and throwing it on the fire, then ovdibyamin kachatas. Then it dafka has to be done with his right hand, and in that sense, it's just like a chatas. Rav Shimon agrees that when it comes to a chatas, this that we were saying yesterday, that the Kohen dips his finger in and daubs it on each of the four corners of the mezuzah, Rav Shimon agrees that that has to be done dafka with the Kohen's right hand. Because, if he did it with his left hand, it would be possible. Even though, as we're going to continue saying now, there are cases where Rav Shimon says that avodah is kosher, it's done with the left hand, but he agrees with a chatas, it's not like that. Doesn't matter. If he's left-handed, actually, being left-handed is a mum. Being left-handed is a mum. He wouldn't be serving in the Mishmash in the first place. Because most people are right-handed, and therefore...
To be right-handed to be
No, no, my kind gadol, regular kind. To be regular kind, serve in the Mishmash. If you're a Baal Mum, then the usual rule applies. You can't serve in the Beit Mikdash, but you can be checking the word for worms, and you can be eating from karvana. Doesn't matter. So it's not a question whether you're missing anything. When we get to Masechta Bechoros, that's the shame. When we get a year or so from now to Masechta Bechoros, we're going to deal extensively with all the Mumim.
Oh,
Yisrael is not really relevant to Mumim. I mean, where's the matter with Yisrael or the Baal Mum or not? But as far as a Kohen, yes, a Kohen is left-handed, it's a Mum. You even have a Machlokas over there. What if he's ambidextrous? Is that a Mum or not? Is it that his right hand is weaker than it should be, or is it that his left hand is stronger than it should be? So that's Machlokas Tanayim, but left-handed, everybody agrees with a Mum. So yes, a Kohen serving in the Beis Mikdash has got to be right-handed. So therefore, sort of Shimon says, when it comes to the Chatas, I agree. Since the Pasuk says the word HaKohen, and it says the word Be'esboi, then that means those two words together, say Rav Shimon, means that Davka, it has to be done with the right hand, so Davka has to use the finger of his right hand to be putting the blood on the back, as opposed to, so therefore in that sense, so therefore if you're going to be taking the Koyma to the Mincha, returning now to the Mincha, if you're taking it in the hand, then he agrees in that sense, that's what the Torah is, comparing it to a Chatas, so it has to be Davka in his right hand. On the other hand, the Kli, on the other hand, continues Rav Shimon, if the Kohen is placing the Kohenitz in the Keli, which is what you would normally do, then the Ovda B'Smoil, then he's allowed to carry that Keli to the Mizveah with his left hand. In that sense, Ka'osham. In that sense, it's like an Osham. In other words, because again, the Chachamim holds, which we're going to learn in the next parak, that any Avoda done with the left hand is possible. However, Rav Shimon disagrees with that. Rav Shimon holds only when the Torah says that something has to be done by the Kohen, and it uses the word Esva, then it means Davka is right hand. So it applies to a Chatas, it applies to the Korbanos of the Mitzorah, the Chargriyas, says Chatas, it says Esva. It also applies, for example, when the Mitzorah is bringing his Korbanos, where the Kohen dips his finger in the oil and sprinkles it seven times towards the Heichol, there also it uses the word Esva.
Should apply to the
But Rav Shimon is going to be like the other Chacham. He doesn't hold that the Chachas Kosham is across the board. But anyway, it says Kibet Boy by the Chachas, but doesn't say by the Osham. So therefore he holds. That's the point of the comparison. Why is the Torah comparing a Mincha to a Chachas and to an Osham? Because depending whether he does it B'yad or B'kli will depend. Is it like a Chachas or is it like an Osham? If it's like a Chachas, it has to dap to be with his right hand, but that would dap to be if he's taking the Koimus in his bare hand.
That's the proof that no equivalence between...
The point is that Rabbi Eliezer would say, even though when it comes to Shaloi L'Shma, a Chatas and an Asham are the same thing, but there is a difference between the Chatas and the Asham, namely like what Rabbi Shimon is saying over here, are you allowed to do the Avodah with your left hand or not? And there's a difference between the Chatas and the Asham in that regard. Rabbi Eliezer would hold like Rabbi Shimon in that regard. That with a Mincha, sometimes a Mincha will be kosher if it's done with the left hand, namely if you do it with Kli, in that sense it'll be like an Asham. Sometimes it'll be possible if you do it in the left hand. That'll be if you do it Viyad, if you take the Koimus in your hand and take it to the Mizbeach, then it Dafka has to be with the right hand. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will say that's the reason why the Torah is comparing a Mincha sometimes to a Chatas and sometimes to an Asham. Nothing to do with Lashma and Shalai Lashma, like the Chachamim say. Okay. So the question is, Rav Shimon, Haikra, Masakle Lahochi, or Masakle Lahochi? So are you telling me what is Rav Shimon trying to learn two different dinim from the same author, Kachatas Ka'asham? On the one hand, we quoted before Rav Shimon saying, not like Rav Eliezer, that there's a difference, a Chatas is possible, Lashma, and Asham is not. Therefore, comparing a Mincha to a Chatas and an Asham implies that sometimes it's Kasher, Shua, Lashma, and sometimes not. And then he's using the very same process to teach us that a Mincha, sometimes it's kosher if it's done with the bear only with his right hand, like a chatas. Sometimes it's kosher even if it's done with his left hand, like an asham. How can you learn two different dinim from the same pasuk? The answer is ikus kral lechidur of Yehuda bereidur of Chiyahu da'asa. No, mainly the pasuk is coming to teach us the second din about the distinction between whether he brings the koimet with his hand or in a cape. The reason is the reason why Rav Shimon is going to say that a minchas chote, that a mincha that a person brings a korban early year, the psula shalai lishma, that it's possible if he does it shalai lishma, it actually doesn't come from that pasuk. Time achrinu, he actually gets it from a different pasuk. Before we were quoting to say that he gets it, from the pasuk kodesh kodashim hikachas v'ha'asha. But that's not really correct. He actually gets it from a different source. Namely, like this.
So he can't. What that means, they use it.
So he's using the pasuk kachatas. He's using the pasuk kodesh kadoshim kachatas kachashim only for one din, like it's supposed to be. What it is like this. Rav Shimon figures like this. Chatas time of my. Why is it a chatas as pasul shaloi l'shmoi? Yichtiv vashi, because as we said previously, because it says chatas he, and therefore that means that it has to be only l'shma. He meaning only it. If it's changed, then it becomes pasul. Well, minchas koytanam yichtiv vashi. Well, by minchas chote, it also says the word he. Therefore, I don't need to learn from that a mincha is sometimes like a chatas and sometimes like an asham. Right there, by minchas chote, it says that it says mincha. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So that settles that then. So we don't have a problem with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is learning his two different dinim from two different sources. Returning to Rav Eliezer, we can say therefore that Rav Eliezer is saying, what about this hekesh between the mincha and the chatas and between the mincha and the asham? If both a chatas and an asham are possible shalom v'shmoy, then what's the point of the two occasions? So again, we said he'll hold like Rav Shimon's second din, that it means that sometimes a mincha will be kosher if it's done with a left hand, like an asham, and sometimes not like a chatas, depending whether we do that the yad or the kri. Fine, so that settles that. Now the only loose end we have to tie up is, we said all this time that Rabbi Eliezer has his hekesh kachatas kasham. The Rabbanon have to agree that that hekesh exists also, so what are they doing with it? Well, the Rabbanon l'may hirchse ish itkash asham l'chatas. According to the Rabbanon, in what sense is there a hekesh between an asham and a chatas, given that they say that there's no similarity between them at all? There's no similarity as far as Lashma and Shalom Lashma. There's no similarity as far as when the blood is brought into the Heichel. So what does the Hekesh teach us? The answer is Loi Moloch, Machatas, Tuna Smicha, Af Asham Tuna Smicha. Very simple. They say it teaches us that just as a Chatas, you have to lean your hands on it before the Korban is shechted. And we know that because the Pasuk says so, the Samach Yodai Aresha Chatas. And then while he's doing the Smicha over there, he says Vidui for whatever Aveda it is that he's bringing the Chatas for. So also an Asham, because otherwise you wouldn't know. The Torah never says by an Asham that he leads. That's the point. The Chacham are learning it from Chachatas to Asham. That's the only thing, though, that they're learning from this Hekesh. Unlike Rabbi Eliezer, who says the Hekesh is teaching us across the board that there's a number of things in which Chachatas and an Asham are similar as far as Shalom Lashma, as far as the blood being born into the Heichel. Chacham are saying it's only as far as Smicha.
How do they know that?
That's because they learned, because we said before, because all the other things, we have other miyotim, we have other logical things, we have other psukim, tell us that now. So even, and as a matter of fact, I mean, usually you have a concept called ein hekesh lemechzeh. Usually you have a concept that once you have a hekesh, you can't just apply only one thing, it applies across the board. But here, the Chacham are going to say, because we have miyotim by all the other possible things that Rabbi Eliezer wants to learn, so therefore, those that come to mean that those are telling us, override this hekesh and make the hekesh only apply to the one thing.
Otherwise,
yeah, they would have to agree with him. All right, so that's that. Now we're going to go on to the third
opinion. So
that's why they say that it only applies to, that Shaloi Lashma applies only to a chatas, and that's why they say that Nichnas Dama Lashmim only applies to a chatas. Right. Now we're going to move on to the third opinion in the Mishnah. Again, we had four opinions in the Mishnah. We had the Tanakhama, who said that only a Pesach and a Chatas are possible Shalom Lishmoy. We had Rabbi Eliezer saying also the Asham. Then we had the third one was Yosef ben Choni Eman Ishchot and Tola, that Yosef ben Choni said a korban, any other korban that was shechted, having in mind that it's a Chatas or having in mind that it's a Pesach, will be possible. So in other words, he says the bidirectional thing. Not only if you shech the chatas or a pesach, shaloi l'shma, they're possible, but also if you shech, let's say, an ola, having in mind that's a chatas, or having in mind that's a pesach, bizmano, then it would also be possible, he says. So let's analyze his opinion. Amr Rav Yechanan, Yosef ben Choni, Rav Eliezer, Amru Davar Echad. So he says, Yosef ben Choni, the third opinion, and Rav Eliezer are saying the same thing. That they're saying the same thing, Rabbi Eliezer would also hold, and we know this because we're going to quote a Braita soon. We're going to quote a Braita on the next couple of lines. That's good, that we're going to see this idea that Rabbi Eliezer would hold like Yosef ben Choni. aside from the fact that he adds the Osham to the list that we had him initially, the Pesach and the Chatos, aside from that, he would also agree with Yosef ben Choni that if he shefted some other korban, having in mind that it's a Chatos, or having in mind that it's a Pesach, that would also be possible. Rabba Omar, Rabba says, actually not necessarily, b'acherim l'shem chatos pligi. No, there is still a difference. Yosef ben Choni and Rabbi Yezer would disagree about the case where a different korban was shefted having in mind as a chatos. Yes, they would agree with the Pesach is bidirectional. You shech the Pesach having in mind some other korban, or you shech some other korban having in mind the Pesach, they're both going to say it's possible. But when it comes to the chatos, they would disagree. Rabbi Eliezer would say only a chatos and an asham that shech in l'shem something else is possible, but something else shech in l'shem chatos would be kosher, and Yosef ben Choni would disagree with that. Again, Rabbi is going to get that from the Braisa that we're going to go on to quote. And actually, Tosfos on Amud Beis brings a gius from Rabbeinu Chananel that maybe Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbah are not even disagreeing. Maybe Rabbah is clarifying what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. This that you're saying, that Rabbi Eliezer and Yosef and Choni say the same thing, they're only saying the same thing when it comes to the Pesach, but not when it comes to the Chatos. Okay, what's the Braisa? The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa like this. If you have an animal that was supposed to be a Korban Pesach, and then it's over a year old, so now it can't be brought to the Pesach anymore, and as we said the other day, now it's going to become a shlom. V'shochted bizmano l'shmo. Now what happened is, what do? You shechted it in its time, on Erev Pesach afternoon, having in mind that it's a Korban Pesach. So now it amounts to you have a shlomim that you're shechting, having in mind that it's a Pesach. V'chein ha-shochet acherim l'shem Pesach bizmano. The same...
Didn't we say you have to say Akira's...
In this case, it's over a year old. You don't need Akira. It's automatically, it can't be a Pesach anymore. Akira is only when it could have been brought as a Pesach. It's before Pesach, or before Pesach Sheni, as the case may be, and it's still under a year old. If it's over a year old, it's disqualified as a Korban Pesach anyway. You don't need Akira, right? Okay. So like this, you have like this. Again, this Korban was you originally designated as a Korban Pesach. However, now it's possible as a Korban Pesach because it's over a year old. So it automatically becomes a shlom. Now you shechted it on Erev Pesach, saying that it's a Pesach. So what happens? V'chein ha-shechet acherim l'shem Pesach l'zmano. Similarly, you could have just any other korban. You have any other korban, an ola, whatever it is that you shecht, having in mind that it's a Pesach, again, l'zmano, in the proper time, on Erev Pesach afternoon. Rabbi Eliezer posts over Rabbi Yeshua Machshit. Rabbi Eliezer holds that these korbanos will be posel, completely posel, that is, not just that they don't count for the owner, but completely posel, and you take them out and burn them. And Rabbi Yeshua holds their kosher. Kosher again in the sense that they don't count for the owner, they don't count for the owner's toy, but they still, yeah. But it's still a valid korban. Yeah. Rabbi Yeshua, yeah, in other words, you still continue treating it like a regular korban. You still continue sprinkling the blood and so forth.
And you can eat it?
The pashas? Yeah. Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua says, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you by a kavachomer. Im b'shal yamos ha-shana. If you consider the rest of the year, she'ene kosher l'shmoi, where during the rest of the year, a korban Pesach is not kosher l'shmoi, because the only proper time to bring it is Erev Pesach. Any other time during the year, you shecht it l'shmoi, then it's going to be possible. And yet, acherim k'sherim l'shmoi, but other times during the year, if you shecht a different korban saying that it's a korban Pesach, then it will be kosher. Because as we said in the Mishnah, only a Pesach and a Chatos if you shecht them shalom l'shmo apostle. But if you take a different korban, if you take an Ola some other time during the year and shecht it saying that it's a Pesach, it'll be kosher v'lo Ola l'bayim, as we said before.
Kosher,
but it doesn't count. It's kosher as an Ola, but it doesn't count for the owner. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you take that
korban, it'll be
possible.
Right. Bismano, kosher l'shmo. So says Rabbi Yeshua. On Erev Pesach, where the Korban Pesach is kosher, if you shecht it l'shmoi, because that's the proper time to bring it l'shmoi, eina din sheyichshur acherim l'shmoi. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that if you shecht some other korban, such as a shlomim or an ola or what have you, having in mind that it's a Pesach, that should be kosher? So based on that logic, you would say that yes, if you take this ex Pesach
during the year.
If during the year you shecht some other korban if during the year you shecht the Pesach itself, a korban which could be a Pesach, which is under a year old, and you shecht it having in mind that it's a Pesach, it's going to be possible for the proper time to bring it as a Pesach. But if you shecht it, you can take an Ola, and you shecht it having in mind that it's a Pesach, it'll be kosher. So on Erev Pesach, as an Ola. So if on Erev Pesach afternoon, when you spoke... That's the point that Rabbi Yeshua is saying. Other korbanos are not possible shalor l'shma. So therefore, even if you had in mind that's the case, that doesn't it's not any worse than any other kind of shalor. Yes, so therefore it still stays an oiler, just doesn't count for the oiler. The reason for the Kohen Pesach we said the other day, because it said Ramar from Zevach Pesach Hu, and the Asus of Pesach, we had a couple of different limudim. But the, okay. Yeah.
You take a Pesach
and shecht it sometime during Sivan. Then it's possible.
But if you take another korban
and shecht it during Sivan as a Pesach, then it'll be kosher.
As that other korban.
Well then, says Rabbi Yeshua, on Erev Pesach, real, if you shecht the korban Pesach, the shmoy, then it's kosher. How much more so if you shechted some other korban, other korban Pesach, then it should be kosher. Okay. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says to him, Oichilu Fatvarim, maybe you should flip around. If you're going to make a Kavachomer, I can flip around the Kavachomer. Then actually, I can make the Kavachomer the other way around and end up saying on the basis of a Kavachomer, flipping it around, to say that a Pesach will be kosher bizmano if it's shalor l'shmoy, which we know is not correct.
So obviously,
yeah, because it has to be l'shmoy. And we know that everybody agrees that a korban Pesach has to be l'shmoy. Because if I'm married to a Zevach Pesach, or Rossi's a Pesach, or whatever. In other words, so we can flip it around. If you're going to make a kavachomer, we can make the kavachomer the other way around. Uma in v'shari mois ha-shana she'enei kosher l'shmoy, ma dach a korban Pesach during the rest of the year, where it's not kosher l'shmoy, because it has to be brought back to Erev Pesach, kosher hu l'shem achayim, but a korban Pesach during the rest of the year would be kosher if you shecht it as some other korban, because then it's not a Pesach, then you're shechting it as a shlom, because then it automatically becomes a shlomim, and then you're shechting a shlomim as something else, and then it would be kosher. Well, then bismanish. So there's right. Bismanish, who kosher l'shmoy, bismanish, well then on Erev Pesach, where the korban is kosher, if you do it l'shmoy, obviously, because that's the right time, shouldn't you be able to make a similar kavachomer and be able to say that it'll be kosher if you shechted the Pesach as some other korban? And therefore you would come out that the Pesach is going to be, that is going to be kosher. Actually, it's a question. So what are you going to come out that the Pesach is going to be kosher if you shechted on the 14th of Nisan Shalom L'Shmoy? Obviously not. And we know for a fact that a Pesach Bizmano is possible for Shalom L'Shmoy. So your Kavachomer doesn't really work, yeah. So what are you going to say like that? Mali huchshir achein b'shayim es hashana l'shmoy or v'kachat oimer? Are you going to say something like that? No. The difference is mali huchshir achein b'shayim es hashana l'shmoy. The reason why you can argue that other korbanos during the rest of the year are kosher if they're shechted l'shmoy l'shem Pesach. The reason is shekein hu kosher l'shem achein, because it goes both ways. The rest of the year, any other korban shechted of the Pesach is kosher. A Pesach shechted of some other korban during the rest of the year is also kosher. So it's a bidirectional thing. On the other hand, how can you claim that other korbanos should be kosher bizmano if you shechted l'shem Pesach? Shekein hu poser l'shem achein, where it's not bidirectional. The Pesach on Erev Pesach if you shechted l'shem achein is going to be poser because that's machshavas shem
achein. You cannot compare what's out of zman to zman.
Yeah. So, yes, during the rest of the year, you have that comparison because it's bidirectional. But on Erev Pesach, where it's not bidirectional, then yeah, how are you making such a thing? Amalei Rav Yeshua, so Rav Yeshua said, yes, but if you're going to argue like that, if you're going to argue that other korbanos shechted on Erev Pesach, l'shmoy, are possible, who writes a koyach Pesach, then what you're doing is you're weakening the force of the korban Pesach, and you're making more of a chumrah that applies to the shlomim. Because what are you saying? The rest of the year, if you shech the Pesach l'shem shlomim, then it's kosher. Now you're saying that all shlomim shechted l'shem Pesach are kosher. So it comes out, therefore, that you're making a greater chumrah on a shlomim than there is on a Pesach. That you're saying that there can be a case where you shech the shlomim, shalor the shmoy, and it's going to be kosher. And we know that the Pesach is supposed to be more stringent than shlomim, because only the Pesach and the Chatah have the, and then the Osham, according to Rabbi Yezer, have the special din that Shalom L'Shmoy.
You say that all of the Pesachim are possible.
If you say that any other Korban, that a Shlomim, for example, shechted as a Pesach, is going to be possible on Erev Pesach, then it means you're giving a few. No, if you say that the Shlomim are possible on Erev Pesach, If you say the rest of the year they're shechter l'shem Pesach,
right.
then if you say the rest of the year that a Pesach shechter l'shem shlomim is kosher, but now you're going to argue on the other hand on erev Pesach a shlomim shechter l'shem Pesach is possible. So you have a case where the shlomim is stronger than the Pesach. You have a case where Pesach can be shechter shloim the rest of the year and it's kosher. On the other hand, you have a case where shlomim is shechter l'shem Pesach and it's possible. You're coming out that the shlomim is more stringent than the Pesach, and it's not supposed to be that way. We have a limud by Pesach. That it has to be the shlo, because it says who? By the shlomim, not. Shlomim is not first in. Shlomim is just a voluntary carbon. A person is thankful to Hashem for something. Okay. So fine. So Rabbi Eliezer has to concede that argument doesn't work. So this is, by the way, from this braisa, by the way, is where Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba are getting their respective opinions about what Rabbi Eliezer holds when it comes to the Pesach and when it comes to the Chatzah. Because from the first part of the braisa, where Rabbi Eliezer is arguing that other korbanos shechted having in mind their Pesach will be possible, by the same logic, he would have to hold the same thing as chatas, because again, it should be a bi-directional thing. A chatas shechted l'shem something else is possible. A pesach shechted l'shem something else is possible. Therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer's argument in the first part of this braisa, the same thing has to be in reverse. Whereas Rabbah takes the view, yes, but after all, we see that Rabbi Eliezer changes his mind and says, "You're right. I can't use that argument. I'm going to use a different argument." So therefore, he has reason to distinguish between pesach and chatas. We see in the braisa from the next din that he's going to argue that the next argument that he's going to make applies specifically to a Pesach, doesn't apply to a Chatas. Therefore, Rabbah can say that Rabbi Eliezer would in fact make a distinction. Something else shechted l'shem Pesach is possible. Something else shechted l'shem Chatas is kosher.
As he didn't before.
Which is unlike what Rabbi Yochanan said, yes. So Rabbi Yochanan has been medayek from the first part of the braisa. Rabbah has been medayek from the second part. So continues the braisa. Chozer Rabbi Eliezer v'donei din achar. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind and gave a different argument. Fine, you're right. You can't use the argument of bismanoi and shaloi bismanoi kosher because you're right. That argument falls apart because it comes out that you're going to have in one case a chumra over shlomim over the pesach and you can't do that. However, he's going to argue like this. Masinu moiser Pesach v'shlomim. We find a case where the leftover of Pesach is brought as a shlomim, which means either again the case where the animal was not brought as a korban on erev Pesach or Pesach sheni, and therefore we said it automatically becomes a shlomim. We also have the example where a person set aside money for his korban Pesach, and then he had extra money, so that extra money also goes to buy a shlomim. So we find that a Pesach is able, or the leftover of a Pesach is able to become a shlomim. The ein moiser shlomim ba Pesach. You never find that a leftover shlomim becomes a Pesach. You never find. So therefore, he argues like this. So uma Pesach from moiser ba shlomim. So madach the Pesach, which is stronger than the shlomim in the it's actually, in a way, it's secondary to the shlomim because we're saying a Pesach is able to become a shlomim, implying that a shlomim is a higher level. So a Pesach is able to become a shlomim, and yet shochter bismanoi l'shum shlomim possible. Yet if you shecht it bismanoi on erev Pesach, having in mind that it's a shlomim, then it's possible, even though on the face of it you bring it to a higher level. Shlomim shein moisrin va Pesach. Well, the shlomim, which is higher than the Pesach, because you never find it downgraded, so to speak, to become a Pesach. Im shochtem l'shem Pesach bismanoi. So now if you shecht them on erev Pesach, having in mind that erev Pesach, ein edin shehuf stolen. Shouldn't it be a kavah chomer that they'd be possible? So there you go, a korban shechted on erev Pesach, l'shem Pesach, or at least a shlomim that's shechted l'shem Pesach, should be possible by such a kal v'chomer.
And it's not.
No, that's what Rabbi Eliezer was arguing it is. That's the point. Rabbi Eliezer, so now this argument only applies to a Pesach. We can't apply this argument to a chatas.
According to Rabbi Eliezer, that doesn't agree.
So according to Rabbi Eliezer, no, so that, we said at the beginning of the sugya, that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Yosef ben Choni, at least as far as a Pesach, that if you shech a Pesach l'shem something else, it's possible, but also if you shech something else l'shem Pesach, it's also possible. Bismano, that is, only on Erev Pesach afternoon. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I can bring a Kavah Chomer to prove that. To that effect, that's how he just proved that. Omer loy Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua answers to him, no, because I can give you an example of a Chatas. Matzinu moiser Chatas ba'Oila, because you can have a scenario where the leftover of a Chatas becomes an Oila. Namely, you have two examples, again, Rashi brings, One is, again, where you set aside money for a chatas. It turned out it was more money than you needed. So whatever you need, you use to buy the chatas. The leftover money goes to the nedava boxes in the Beis Hamikdash, which eventually is used to buy tithes on the Mizbeach, used to buy oilos for slack seasons in the Beis Hamikdash, which are korbanos for slack seasons, which are oilos. So therefore, that's one example where money from a chatas ends up going towards an oilos. Another example, Rashi brings, which we learned the other day in the Gemara, we had a case where somebody, where to begin with, somebody was chayav a chatas, and to begin with, he set aside two animals, one as the main one and one as the backup one. So then we said, the backup one is not one of the chataris amesis. Then we said that what we do is, he had his kapara with one of them, the other one is left to graze, so it develops a mum. And again, we use the money for nedava.
And what do you prove from that?
So the current point is, the ein mos to oyla b'chatas, but continues Rabbi Yeshua, you never have the other way around that money that was supposed to have gone towards an oyla instead goes to a chatas.
Only
a chatas can become an oyla, but not the other way around. Therefore, make a kavachomer as follows. Uma chatas to mos rabo oyla, so you could argue the same kind of logic. You could argue the same kind of logic, therefore. Madach achatas, where the leftover of it can become an oila, implying again like an oila is a higher level than a chatas, but shachta l'shem oila psula, and yet we're saying that if you try to upgrade a chatas and shachta l'shem oila, then it'll be possible, which again everybody agrees with. Well, oila shein moistra b'chatas, well then an oila, where the leftover of it can never become a chatas, because in other words, a chatas is a lower level. Shachta l'shem chatas, so if you shachta l'shem chatas, ein edin shtei psula. Wouldn't it be a kavachoma that it should be possible? Now, that's the point. Now Rabba learned, as we said before, that Rabbi Eliezer would agree it's not possible. Rabbi Eliezer would disagree with Yosef ben Choyni, who would say that, in fact, it would be possible. He would agree with the Chachamim that it's kosher, an oila l'shem chatas. He would say only a chatas l'shem oila is possible. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer concedes that argument. He doesn't say no. As a matter of fact, I hold an oila shechta l'shem chatas is possible. So therefore, he concedes that. That's where Rava gets that Rabbi Eliezer is making a distinction between something shechta l'shem pesach and something shechta l'shem chatas.
So therefore,
that's it. So that shows that Rabbi Eliezer makes that distinction. Not like Rabbi Yochanan has said that he argues on both, that he agrees with Yosef and Choni on both.
And making the distinction allows him to
say that when you have something else, shechta l'shem pesach, then it's possible. In other words, with pesach, he holds it bidirectional. A pesach l'shem something else is possible. Something else l'shem pesach is also possible. But when it comes to the chatas, he agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that's only one directional. A chatas l'shem something else is possible. Something else l'shem chatas is kosher. And in fact, Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that, and he says, you can't use that logic to learn from a chatas to a pesach. Yes, you can say by a chatas that an oila shechta l'shem chatas is not possible. The reason is shekein kshero l'shma kalashan akula, because a chatas can be brought any time during the year. Any time during the year, you would bring a chatas, it would be kosher. How can you compare that to a Pesach, which is kosher l'shmoy only during the 6 hours on Erev Pesach? Therefore, since you find during the rest of the year that a Pesach is possible l'shmoy, then like you said before, it needs to be bidirectional. Din hu, we can say logically, that the rest of the year also, or also on Erev Pesach, other korbanos, or not during the rest of the year, but on Erev Pesach, other korbanos shechted as a case, having in mind other Pesach, will be possible. So we see from this last part that Rabbi Eliezer himself agrees that there's a distinction between a chatas and a Pesach, which is like Rava said, not like Rabbi Yechanan said. Okay, again, like I said before, Tosfos learns actually that Rava is not even necessarily arguing with Rabbi Yechanan, he's explaining Rabbi Yechanan. That Rabbi Yechanan mentioned that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Yosef ben Choni, and Rava is clarifying he only agrees with him as far as the chatas. He only agrees with him as far as the Pesach, not as far as the chatas. Because otherwise we would think that Rabbi Yechanan means that he argues on both. Now that we have the Braisa, then we see that.
Okay. Just on one.
Yeah. Okay. Now we get to the fourth opinion in the Mishnah, which is, we said Shimon Achi Azariah. Remember, we said that Shimon Achi Azariah, whereas we said in the Mishnah, Azariah supported Shimon so that he could learn Torah, that he suffers Volan partnership, so therefore Azariah is being honored by Shimon, is named after him, the brother of Azariah. Anyway, Shimon Achi Azariah has a fourth opinion in the Mishnah, where he says it depends if you have what the korban was supposed to be and what you're shechting it as, which one is higher, which one is a higher level of kedusha, which one is a lower level. So he says, if you shecht a shlomim, for example, having in mind that it's an ola or a chatas, then it'll be kosher, because you're taking kodshim kalim and turning them into kodshim kodshim. But if it was the other way around, he says, if you were to take an ola and shecht it as a shlomim, then he learns it would be possible because then you're downgrading it. Yes. We learned at the very beginning of the Masechta that the Chachamim made a takana that you should just shecht stam without specifying, because if you specify, you may end up specifying the wrong thing. But throughout the last 11 blocks, we've been assuming, the last 10, 11 blocks, we've been assuming that the situation is where the person explicitly thought or explicitly said, we mentioned the Machlokas were showing him on that, that it's a different, that it's a different carbon, right? David Trillis connected to Midian Technomia. Yes. Kavana is very important. There's different kinds of kavana. There's certain kavanas that's what we've been saying all this time, that there are certain kavanas that will completely pass all the carbon. For example, machshavas pigul, or machshavas chutz manesh, or chutz whatever. And then you have other ones that'll leave it kosher, which just won't count for the owner. For example, with most kavanas, machshavas shuni hashem. That's what we're saying. That's what we've been saying all this time.
If you're saying that the tefillah replaces the carbon, then the same thing should apply to the tefillah. If you have a pigul in the tefillah, or you
what
have
would be a pigul?
Well,
if you have a machshava zara, it might or might not pass on the tefillah. It's true. You machshava shuni hashem. You do have the rare example. You have the case, for example, where a person missed one tefillah and is making it up by the next one. Where there, which tefillah you have in mind at the time is very important. If let's say, for example, a person missed mincha and now he's davening two mitzvahs, it has to be, he has to have in mind that the first one is for Meirav itself, and the second one is to make up for Mincha. If you were to think the other way around, the first one is to make up for Mincha, and the second one is for Meirav, no good. He's got to have a third one. So there you have an example where Machshavas Shini Hashem passes the Tefillah. But okay, I mean, Tefillahs are similar to Korbanos in that sense, but they're not exactly the same thing after all. But then,
coming back to the upgrade and downgrade, how can you say that a Korban, the high and the low one, would be kosher when it would be?
According to Shimon Achi Azariah, that's the key thing. And we're going to see now in the Gemara where he gets this idea from. But the point is, yes, according to him, if you take Kodshim Kalim and shech them having in mind that they're Kodshim Kodshim, then the carbon is kosher, it just doesn't count for the owner. But if you did the other way around, you went from higher to lower, then it would be completely possible. Why not? Why does that make any sense?
How can you raise something that's lower to something that's higher?
What do you mean, how could you?
The difference. One is higher and one is
and
lower.
How do we, and how we had all this time when we say, again, when we say, it's not that it actually becomes the higher korban. If he shechts a shlomim, having in mind it's an ola, it doesn't become an ola. It still stays a shlomim, he said. The point is, it stays kosher. It's a kosher shlomim. It just doesn't count for the owner's chayv, and he's going to have to bring another shlomim.
Okay, so
but on the other hand, if you were to shecht an ola, having in mind it's a shlomim, then Shimon Achi Azariah would hold completely possible. You stop everything right there, and you take it out and burn it.
But what should apply one way? Should apply the other?
No, and we're going to see why. Rav Ashi Masni Mishmei de Rav Yechanan, Rav Ashi learned the following statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Masna Mishmei D'Rav Yanai, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava learns it in the name of Rabbi Yanai, my time at the Shimon Achi Azariah, what's Shimon Achi Azariah's reason? Where does he get this distinction from? Like this, the Omakra, because the Pasuk says, V'lo yichallu as kodshe b'nei Yisrael, eis asher yirimu l'ashem, the Pasuk says, they should not make unholy, they should not profane the kodshim of the Jewish people, that they will lift up to Hashem, implying the Mura Mehme in Nischal, and implying if you shech the korban having in mind a higher level of korban, then it's not Nischal, it's not profaned, it's not passed. But no Mehme in Nischal. It's just a Yorimu that they will lift up. So therefore, if you lift, so the, in other words, he's saying, the Pashkus, we would understand that the Pasuk is telling us a lot. Don't do this, which in fact the Gemara is going to go on to say that it does. But he's learning it as a statement of fact. If they do, if you shech a lower carbon, having in mind that it's a higher carbon, then lo yichalalu, that carbon will not become holy. It will not be possible.
But what do they take that from?
That's what it's called Shei B'nai Yisrael.
Wait. So it can be in a way.
Yes.
Why is it much lower?
Means completely possible. No. Okay. So in the next parak, for example, we're going to get into various things that pass on the korban, and for many of them, we learn that they're possible from that the pasuk describes it as that it's niskala, that it's cholin, or that there's different things like that. Niskala means that it's profane, that it's made no longer holy. So therefore, in this case, it loses its. It means the korban is not a korban anymore. It's It now has to be taken out and burned. It's not valid as a carbon anymore. So we're going to have later on. We're going to learn from Pesukim in the next paragraph that if an oral does the avodah, then he's machalol. If a drunk koyin does it, then he's machalol. A whole bunch of different things. We're machalol in the sense that the avodah he did is possible. That's what Shimon Achi Azariah is holding. That the pasuk is implying that the mura mehem en mischalin, the korban does not become chulin, the korban does not become posel by doing it for a higher level korban, but no, man mischalin. But the implication is that if you would have shechted having in mind a lower type of korban, then it would be mischalin. It would make the korban posel.
I understand his point. Okay. I don't understand where he takes it from.
What do you mean where he takes it from? Because the pasuk is saying. Because the pasuk is saying it's kotshim and Yisrael. Kotshim or kotshim.
He's right, but it means mura and not.
Because that's the measure here, rimu, that they lift up, that they raise up. Your rimu implying that there's a raising up as opposed to a lowering. So the question is, Baha'i Lahochi Uda Asa.
What does it mean actually you're ignoring
that? The simple meaning is it means that they will lift up.
Physically.
So, but over here, we're understanding it to mean lifting it up in level of Kedusha, yeah. So the question is, Baha'i Lahochi Uda Asa. You're telling me that this pasuk is coming to teach us such a din? We need this pasuk to teach us a whole different din that Shmuel teaches us. How do we know that if a person eats tevel, he's chayev, where truma and maisa haven't been taken from it yet, that he's chayev misa b'dei shemayim? Because the pasuk says, and here we understand it as a lav, here we understand it not as a statement of fact, but as a lav, they shall not profane the kodshim of the Jewish people, which they will lift up, which they will raise up to Hashem, meaning Basidim Litzrim, Akosim Adabah. The pasuk is talking about produce, where the truma will be lifted up from it, but hasn't yet been, meaning it's kevel, and therefore, v'lo yichalalu, and therefore they shouldn't profane it by eating it.
So therefore,
it refers to truma. Not only it refers to something completely different, but the point is it refers to that din. It tells us about not eating kevel. Yeah. The answer is, imkem lichtiv krasha kum. Yes, but you could argue that if the pasuk was only coming to teach us Shimon Achi Azariah's limud, then the pasuk does not have to say the word yarimu in future tense. It could say ashahumu, which were raised up, because, yeah, it was raised up from being a shlomim to thinking that it's an olo, or yeah. My asher yarimu, instead it says it in future tense, that they will lift up. Shmami netauti, therefore you can also learn Shmuel.
One minute.
In other words, we have
consistent with yarimu,
no, but it doesn't have to be. Just because it says lo yichalalu, no, because lo yichalalu could mean there is no chilul involved. Again, it's not a lav, it's a statement of fact. There is no chilul involved when a korban was lifted up to a higher level, when it was shechted having in mind a higher level korban. However, instead of humu, it says yorimu, they will lift up, which therefore allows us to learn also the concept where truma hasn't been taken out yet in the tevel. So the point is, in other words, Shimon Achi Azariah would say like this. Primarily, the pasuk is talking about konshe, because after all, it uses the word, that's konshe b'nei Yisrael. However, since we have that nuance in it, that if it just meant to be talking about konshe, it would have said furmu, and instead it says yorimu, then fine, you can also secondarily understand from it that konshe here also has a second meaning in truma, and lo yichalu is a lav, don't be machalo them by eating them before eitasha yorimu lashe. So therefore, he says you can learn both dinners. Okay.
Lafi
Dikduk is fine. Lo yichalo is kodshim in Israel. It's a shahu mul Hashem. It could be. There is no chilul will have taken place when they raise it up to when it's been raised up to a higher level. That's a shahu mul. Yeah, I could have said that. Yeah. Shahu means they were already lifted up. Shahu mul is lashon avar. It was lifted up. Yarimu is lashon afir. It will be lifted up. Rima or whatever. That's something else. Yeah. Different.
No, yichalu means they were not profane, right?
But again, it can be either a statement of fact, it will not be profane, in other words, there's no profanation, there's no chilul that takes place, still kosher, or it can mean they shall not profane by eating it.
If it's a commandment, lo yichalu,
then it has to refer to truma.
It has to refer to truma, but it doesn't seek to say
that's the point. Since it says Eshasha Yurimu Lashem, it allows us to learn both things. That the pasuk as a whole is teaching us a din in kotshim, says Shimon Achi Azariah. But in addition, the fact that it says Yurimu instead of Hurmu also allows us to understand that it's also talking about Surah. Yeah. Okay. Now, When he says, now, when Shimon Achi Azalia says that if it's shechted l'shem gavoya mehen or l'shem nomoch mehen, he says if it's shechted l'shem gavoya mehen ksherim, so we have to figure out, what do you mean ksherim? Boy of Zera, ksherim ve'en meratin, do we mean that Shimon Achi Azalia would hold that an oila, that a shlomim shechted having in mind that it's an oila, will be kosher, but it won't be meratin, he won't be yotzer with it? In which case, v'chipolig v'choda polig, in which case he's having a single machlokas with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama would hold that, for example, an oila shechted l'shem shlomim is kosher; it's just not yotze. Whereas Shimon Achi Azalia would hold completely possible. But he would be saying that. So when it comes to a shlomim l'shem oila, then he's not actually arguing with the Tanakhama. Maybe he means that a shlomim shechted l'shem oila is not only kosher, but it is merate; it actually counts for the owner's choiv. Or b'tazi pligi, and then therefore we would have to say that he's arguing on the Tanakhama on 2 points. Okay, so Amar Abaye, we came in a Mitzvah, so Toshma, we learn in a Braith, not in a Braith, we learn at the end of our Mishnah, Rishimin Achi Azariah gives an example, HaBachor V'Amayitzer Shoktam L'Shem Shlomim K'sherim, that if you were to take a Bachor, we're going to try to prove one way. We're going to see, wait. HaBachor V'Amayitzer Shoktam L'Shem Shlomim, we said that if you shecht a Bachor or a Mayitzer having in mind their Shlomim, now all three of those are Kodeshim Kalim. However, ksherim, we would say that it's kosher because a shlomim is considered a higher level than bechor and meister. On the other hand, shlomim sheshachem l'shem bechor l'shem meister. But if you would take shlomim and shechem l'shem bechor l'shem meister, again, even though they're all kodeshim kalim psulim, then they would be posel because it's a lower level. Now, the question is like this: the isak reda ksherim umerasin. If you're going to tell me that Shimon Achi Azalia means when we say ksherim in the first case of bechor or meister that are shechted l'shem shlomim, you're going to say he's not only kosher umerasin, bechor bar ritzu yehu. Is a bechor something that has to be accepted? That has to be accepted to be yotze his or to be yotze his chiyuv? A bechor in that sense is somewhat like an adaba. You have to bring the bechor as a carbon, but if you can't for any reason, for example, develop the mum, then that's it. You have no further chiyuv. This that we've been saying all this time, ksherim all the bialim, means you made a neder. You made a neder. I'm going to bring a shlomim. I'm going to bring an ola, what have you. And later on, and now the korban is shechted shelo v'shmoyt. But now to fulfill your neder, you have to bring a different one. A bechor, that whole concept doesn't shayach to. A bechor, there's no neder involved. A bechor is you have a bechor animal, you have to bring it. If you can't bring it, then you can't bring it. That's that. So you don't. It's not relevant to talk about with a bechor that's shechted the same shlomim, whether it's mirata or not. Evidently, by bringing the example of a bechor, Shimon Achi Azalia must be implying that, to that extent, he agrees with the Tanakhama that it's kosher, which is not merata. In the case of a bechor, again, it's not relevant to ask whether it's merata. In the case of Maiso, not either really. But the fact that he brings those examples implies that the ritzui is irrelevant. The ritzui doesn't happen. That's the point. Since he's mentioning an example of bechor and Maiso, that implies, in other words, he's saying that miratin doesn't apply.
In general.
Umid a sefer ksherin vein miratin. So since in the sefer, we're giving an example, since he's saying over here in this example that ksherin means vein miratin, reisha nami ksherin vein miratin. So in the reisha, when he says the general rule, that for example, a shlom and a shechta v'shem orla or vice versa, must be the same kind of thing. The ritzui is out of the picture because it doesn't happen.
That's in the reisha, that's part about it.
Well, the answer the Gemara asks back, media, what kind of an argument is that? Hakadisa, v'hakadisa. Each one has its own rules. By a shlomim, it's relevant to talk about ritzuri. By a bechor and a maisa, ritzuri is bechlau out of the picture, so it's not even relevant. How can you prove one to the other? So in that case, you have to ask, Elamai Kamash Milan. Fine, but in that case, you have to ask, then what is this example of bechor and maisa versus shlomim? So what is it teaching you? In that case, if there's no chiddush in it about the ritzuri or not. The answer is Maudatema, Kodshim, Kalam, Udik, Gavaya, Vanamok. Because if you didn't, sorry, I skipped the line. Tanena, we learn in the Mishnah, it's totally Kesad. Elamai Kamash Malon. So the question is, what is he trying to tell us by adding Bechur and Maisa and Pesa? Are you telling me Gavaya, Vanamok, Kamash Malon? He's just teaching us the concept of Gavaya, Vanamok, examples of a higher and lower. Tanena, we learned already. He gave an example already, kodshim that was shechted having in mind the kodshim kalam and vice versa. So what are we adding? By adding bechor and maaser, what's the pesach? Yeah. The answer is no, there is a chiddush in it. Mao de tema, because otherwise, if you didn't have that last example, you would think, kodshim kalam udik gavoy of a number. Fine. within two different classes of Karbanas, Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim, there you can argue that's relevant to talk about higher and lower. But within Kachim Kalim itself, you would think maybe there's no distinction, and therefore we have to point out, no, there still is a distinction even between Kachim Kalim themselves. Okay, so the question is, Hanami Tamina. Fine, but that particular detail, we also have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah later on in Amasechta that teaches us that same concept. That a Shlomim, we haven't had it till now, but we have it later in Amasechta, which says, Shlomim Kodmer Sabachor. So again, later on, we're going to have a parak called Kola Todir, a later parak in Amasechta, which is going to deal extensively with the whole question of which Kodman precedes which other one. It gets into the matter of Todir, but it also gets into the matter of which one has greater Kedusha. And it says over there, if you have a Shlomim and a Bechor that have to both be brought as a Kodman, which one comes first? Shlomim Kodmer as a Bechor, Shlomim comes ahead of a Bechor, because the Shlomim is a higher level of Kedusha within Kodshim Kala themselves, because the blood has to be applied to... It's not Todir, because of Shlomim, there's no fixed time for it.
It's more common than a Todir.
It may be more common, that's not the definition of Todir. The definition of Todir is where there's a fixed time for it. But a Shlomim has an advantage over a Bechor, the blood of a Shlomim has to be applied to the four sides of the Mizbeach, Shtayim Shein Arba, the two opposite corners,
exactly.
As opposed to a Bechor is only Matana Achas Keneged HaYisod, you only have to pour one or throw the blood in one place as long as it's above the Yisod. That's four versus one.
Where's the Yisod?
The Yisod I mentioned yesterday went around two whole sides of the Mizbeach and then stuck out a little bit here and a little bit here. So you had one corner that had no Yisod at all. Different Rishonim talk about the question, did the sides from there and there have Yisod? There's different opinions about that. Everybody agrees. It's a base. It's a ledge that stuck out around the bottom of the Mizbeach. Like a... The Mizbeach was built as a solid thing. It's called the Yisod, because the base, so it's at the bottom of the Mizbeach.
So it's larger than the Mizbeach.
The Yisod means base. It's foundation, whatever.
It's larger than the Mizbeach.
So it's a little bit larger than the Mizbeach. When we get into, in Ezer and Koven, we're going to discuss exactly how it was constructed, but basically what it boils down to, as I'm going to explain over there, what they did is they started by making a wooden frame the size of the Yisod. They put in pieces of wood in the places where there's not supposed to be a Yisod, like an L-shaped piece of wood where there's not supposed to be a Yisod. Then they poured in concrete, they poured in a mixture that amounts to concrete, and then therefore you come out, now you have a piece on the bottom over there, that's the shape of the Yisod. Then they put another form on top of it to make the next higher part of the Mizbeach up to the Sovid, and then another part for the top part of the Mizbeach, etc. They built it like that, using concrete poured into wooden mold, essentially. But that's the point, it came out. Exactly. That's it. So they put wood and they take it away once the concrete dries, right? Yeah. So this was similar. So the point is that the Yisod only, the point is the Yisod went around two complete sides of the Mizbeach. It stuck out by the two corners, and again, some of the Rishonim learned that it means it went down most of the sides, but it didn't touch the corner. Everybody agrees it hadn't, there was nothing by this corner over here. So and the point is, the blood of a Bechor and Maaser and Pesach has to be poured or thrown onto some side of the Mizbeach that's above the Yisod, but only one time, as opposed to the Shlomim, needs Shtayim Shein Arba on two opposite corners. So the Shlomim has an advantage in that. Well, you know what we're asking? It's cement. I mean, the Gemara describes it as it was death, it's cornea, it was whatever, it was a molten mixture that would eventually solidify. I'm calling it concrete to give you an example. We'll learn when we get to Ezer Mekodman. Well, yeah. Okay, anyway. Usmicha. Also, Shlomim requires smicha, a Bechor doesn't. So the first thing is that a Shlomim has an advantage over a Bechor and that the blood has to be put on the Mizbeach more times. The second one is a Shlomim requires smicha, a Bechor doesn't. Third of all, in the Sochim, a Shlomim requires a Sochim, a Bechor doesn't. And a Shlomim requires that you take the chest and the leg of the animal and you wave them in all directions and then give them to the Kohen, and a Bechor not. So we already have that Mishnah teaching us that even within Kodshim Kalim themselves, you have a distinction between higher and lower. So why in our Mishnah does Shimon Achiyazaria need to point that out? L'chora must be to teach us that Ritzui, but we're saying that not. The answer is no. Ha Iker. Our Mishnah is the main place, our Mishnah, where it's mentioned first, is the main place where the Gemara wants to inform us of this concept. That within Kodshim Kalim themselves, you have higher and lower. Also, hahi, in that case, agav grora nasva, agav hahi agrora nasva. In that case, the Mishnah is just mentioning us incidentally. Since the Mishnah is mentioning a whole catalog of cases where one korban goes ahead of the other, so by the way, it mentions you should know that shlomim goes ahead of a bechor. But our Mishnah is the main place where it wants to inform us that you should know within kodshim kalam themselves, you have a hierarchy. So therefore, we can say Shimon Achi Azariah wants to tell us that. Not that he's teaching us the question of whether the korban is merdasa or not. We can assume he agrees with the chachamim that when it's shaloi l'shmar, it's not merdasa. He's mentioning bechor versus ma'aser versus shlomim to teach us this basic concept that within kodesh and kalam themselves, you have a hierarchy, you have different levels. And later on, in the Masechta, it mentions it incidentally, yeah, that among all the catalog of what it's describing over there. So that's that. So we don't have any reason to say that he would hold that merasin. We don't have any reason to say that he would hold that a korban shechted shloi l'shmoi is merasin for the owner of the pashtus. He would hold like the chachamim that it's not merasin even in the cases where it's kosher. And then just what he's doing is he's adding to the chachamim that again, if you were to shecht an oil l'shem shlomim, for example, then it would be completely possible, unlike the chachamim would hold it kosher, just not merasin.